No, you're good.
Because together, they're stronger. Individually, you're stronger. I remember every single fall down.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to On Point, Rachel Turgeman. I'm so glad you can join us tonight. My friends, immigration law can be so very much complex. That is why it is necessary for you to hire a lawyer with an outstanding proven track record in dealing with the intricacies of immigration law. Joining us tonight is an amazing attorney, Nicole Alvarez, a proud graduate of Stetson University College of Law. Welcome back, Nicole. How are you?
Good. How are you, Rachel? Thank you so much for having me again.
Oh, we love you. I know that late last year, you came on with us and you spoke to all our viewers about family law. And we learned so much with you, and we thank you for that. I know that you also have a specialty besides immigration law. You also deal with criminal defense law, so we'd like to hear about that as well. But tonight, we want to concentrate on immigration law. How's that?
That's great. Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. To begin, I would like all our viewers to get an idea of how you feel as an amazing immigration lawyer that everybody's calling you because you just know the law so well. How would you assess, Nicole, immigration law as we see it today?
Well, I think as we see it today, especially with this new administration, it's positive. The outlook for many individuals is great. So I think that this is a good time for immigration. We're hearing a lot of things that are happening, and I'm hopeful that in the next couple of weeks, we're going to get more avenues for individuals to be able to stay here legally.
And I love it, Nicole. As you know, you and I are friends. I think the world of you. All your clients adore you. You deliver. You know, you're a workaholic. But yeah. Talking about immigration, the way I look at it is that we're all immigrants. You know, I'm an immigrant. You know, I came to the United States when I was 3 months old. You know, all of us are United States citizens, you know, and we want everybody to come to the land of opportunity. But I know that we need to do it in an orderly fashion. And that's why anybody that's interested in becoming a U.S. citizen or even getting a permanent green card, they need to talk to you. On that note, let's define what is a permanent green card, number one. And number two, I want you to go over some of the major ones that people can apply. Talk to us.
All right. So a green card is what pretty much everyone strives for, because once you get your green card, after you have it for a couple of years, depending on your situation, that leads you to your citizenship. So green card is what everyone strives to be. So there are many ways that you can obtain your green card, but the number one popular way and the one that I see most is immediate relative green cards. What that means is that if you have a U.S. citizen spouse, a U.S. citizen child over the age of 21, or a U.S. citizen parent, you are able to obtain your green card. Now, the hot ticket out there is the green card based on marriage, right? But it's a little bit more difficult because there is so many fraudulent marriages out there, and there is so many people just getting married to get a green card that immigration knows what's going on and has very much become extremely strict. So it's very important that if you do apply for residency based on a marriage, that you do it with an immigration attorney, because we really know exactly what immigration looks for and how to avoid any doubts from the immigration officials, because they can make it very difficult for you.
Interesting. So I have a couple of friends that are living in, you know, outside the country, and one of them is a U.S. citizen and the other one is not. So my question to you and to all our viewers, in case they have similar friends as well, how is it, if they want to get married, okay, and she's a U.S. citizen and he's not, he's in a foreign country, should they get married in a foreign country or should they come to the United States and get married here? What is your advice as an expert in immigration law?
Well, you can do it both ways, right? So if you wait to get married and come to the United States to get married, you're going to have to do what's called a fiancé visa. Now, this is necessary for those countries that don't have a visa waiver. So if you need a visa to enter the United States and you need a fiancé visa, Fiance visas right now are taking about a year and a half to process because of COVID. Right. So you have to add that to then the time period before you obtain your residency versus option two. You get married outside of the United States, you skip the entire fiance visa process, and then you go straight to applying for a green card.
Interesting. Well, thank you for that advice. And I also noticed that you give a half hour free consultation.
Absolutely, yes.
So I want to make sure that all our viewers that are watching, office number is 305-440-0736. Nicole Alvarez, attorney at law. Anything that you want to deal with, whether it's immigration law, criminal defense, or family law, Nicole Alvarez is your attorney. Okay, so that's family law. As far as getting the green card, what about religion? I know some people sometimes, if they live in other countries and they really have a very spiritual side to them, if you will, and they want to come work at a church here. How does that work?
Okay, so actually I do work for a lot of priests and nuns in the Catholic Church. And what it's called is called the R visa. It's a religious visa. And what that is, and in order to be able to obtain that visa, you have to be part of a religious organization. Okay. It doesn't just have to be the Catholic Church. It can be any type of, you know, religion, but you have to be part of that religion. And you have to have already been a part of that organization for 2 years prior to you applying for the visa. So you can't just say, I want to apply for religion A and I've never been a part of that religion and I'm just going to start in the United States. No, you have to have had previous experience.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
Right. Then that organization is the one that petitions for you and says to, you know, the United States, I want to bring this person over because I already have a job for them. I already have, you know, responsibilities and duties for them to do. And we need them in the United States. The immigration will even go and do a property check. We'll go to wherever the organization has their office, headquarters, anything in the United States, and check it out to see if it's legit.
Okay.
After they do all that, then if you get approved for 2 years, and it's in 2 year increments. And then after 2 years of working in the religious visa capacity in the United States, you're able to apply for a green card. But it's a lot of steps and, you know, it's very important for everyone to know that it's not easy to be able to gain any type of legal access in the United States or even enter the United States legally. It takes a lot of paperwork, a lot of documentation. Every day goes by, immigration asks for more documents, more details. So it's not so simple as people do. And one of the biggest things, if I can add at this moment, that I see and that I have to fix is those individuals who are preyed upon by those notary republics that you see that says, you know, for half the price, I will, you know, do your immigration paperwork. They're not attorneys. They don't know your case. They don't know the law. And they're putting people in really serious situations because what happens is that immigration doesn't know that you exist, right? Then you put in documentation and it could be the wrong documentation. It could be documentation that would never work. And guess what? All of a sudden, immigration has a spotlight on you, knows you're here, knows what you did. And now you're in a serious situation. And I get so many cases from people saying, I went to a notary. This is, you know, they call it notario. I went to the notary. This is what they did. This is what immigration gave back. And now I have to undo. And sometimes I can't do anything about it. It is what it is.
So the message here is for all our viewers that have friends that perhaps are non-citizens, they need to do it right from the get-go.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And like, I know that you've had many years of experience. So Nicole Alvarez, you need to contact her. You know, all our viewers, I'm encouraging you to contact Nicole Alvarez. If you have any friends in any other countries that would like to come here legally, this is the time to contact Nicole Alvarez. Talking about non-citizens, what's going on? You know, give us a summary or some brief explanation with the Venezuelan situation. Talk to us about our Venezuelan brothers and sisters. Tell us.
So on January 19th of this year, 2021, the president filed a memorandum which gives deferred inspection to anyone that is from Venezuela that was in the United States from that day before. And what that means is that kind of puts their status, it freezes their status, right? And I'm not talking about people that have legal status, because then they don't need to worry about anything. I'm talking about for those individuals that are either in deportation proceedings or are here without any status or anything like that. What it is that it's 18 months of deferred, which means nothing's going to happen to you for those 18 months. And within those 18 months, you can apply for a work permit. Now, I must stress, this does not give you residency. This does not give you legal status. This is just a deferment of whatever could happen to you. So, for example, you're in deportation proceedings. That doesn't mean that it was canceled. That just means that for the next 18 months, they're not going to act on it. But after those 18 months, if it is not extended or another avenue is given, then you're right back to where it was from the day before this was instituted.
Well, let's see what President Biden's going to do with respect to that. We have many brothers and sisters that are living here, especially in Florida, and all the other viewers that are watching. I'm sure they have a lot of people too all over the country. Okay, so we did family, religious. Okay, asylum. Talk to us about that.
So asylum is when you come to this country seeking asylum because your country where you are from, you're being persecuted either for religion, political reasons. You're a member of a particular social group, which would encompass, you know, sexual orientation, transgender. You're being persecuted for religious beliefs. Now, the persecution is either by the government or individuals that the government is doing nothing to control. So it's that, and it's specific, and it's only for those categories that you have to be.
How do you prove that, Nicole? How do you prove something like that, that you're being discriminated upon that way?
So it's very difficult, right? And it's case by case. So for example, if you're in an area where you are being persecuted by, let's say, you know, a gang, right? But the gang is very heavily known and they're in the news, and you either, you know, sometimes you have a police report, sometimes you don't, but you have newspaper articles, you have, you know, information. For example, a lot of my asylum cases, I hire experts in that particular arena. For example, you know, I'm doing an asylum where they're from an area that is infested by gang activity, and this gang activity is very famous. And so I have an expert coming in to testify about explaining the gang, what they do, how they interfere, and so forth. So it's a plethora. Also, I could get maybe affidavits from friends and family of the individual that has either witnessed the persecution or has been persecuted themselves. So I could use that. And so it's kind of like a case by case, and you have to get creative because a lot of the times you don't have much evidence.
Right. But I see that what you like to do is to build the audience, you know, build a portfolio.
Right.
So on that note, let's talk a little bit about human trafficking. I know you know that I'm very much involved with the movement of human trafficking with some of your friends, Dr. Francesco Dubelli, Dr. Maria Etienne. There's so many people that know you. I mean, you have no idea how many people love you and respect you, Nicole, as being an outstanding attorney. So human trafficking, you know, that's horrible. What can we do if somebody is here, a non-citizen, that has been a victim of human trafficking, the perpetrators of the violence, the pimp, if you will, abuse them horribly, almost kill them? How can they stay here legally?
So there's a thing called the T visa, which is for victims of human trafficking. And of course, you have to prove that you are actually a victim of human trafficking. And if you get that visa is a gateway to obtaining your citizenship, your residency, and then your citizenship.
Okay, so that's excellent. And what about people that have been perhaps sexually assaulted or tortured or raped? Talk to us about that.
Right. So the of course, human trafficking is the T visas. But then if you are a victim of other crimes, and it's specific crimes, and there's a list of the crimes. But for example, some are you know, aggravated battery, aggravated assaults, rape, things like that. If you, domestic violence, if you are a victim of those crimes, and again, there's a list, and you can call me and I can discuss them in your situation, you're able to apply for the U visa. Now, the U visa, you have to be willing to prosecute the person that perpetrated the crime upon you, okay? So you have to either be cooperative with the police or you have to be cooperative with the state attorney who's prosecuting the case. Mm-hmm. You cannot ask for the U visa and then say, oh, I don't want to testify. Because right. What happens is with the U visa, prior to you applying to immigration, you need to get a document signed by either the police department or the prosecutor's office saying that this person is a victim of this crime and they are, you know, assisting in the investigation and assisting in the case and they are cooperating. Without that document, I can't do anything with immigration. So that's right. Where people need to realize that you can apply for the U visa, but right. You need to cooperate with law enforcement.
And that makes sense, Nicole. And I'm sure that all our viewers would agree with you. You know, if you're going to be able to stay here, then definitely, you know, you need to cooperate. And it behooves us to cooperate, right? Because we don't want this criminal, if you will, because he's a criminal or she's a criminal,
right.
To hurt somebody else, to rape somebody else, to sexually assault somebody else, to torture somebody else. So, I mean, I'm in total agreement with that for sure. Let's take a short break. Let's give all our VIP advertisers a thank you. And we'll come right back to you. So I'd like to begin with Jackson Health Foundation, making miracles happen every day. A big shout out to Carlos Magoya. A big shout out to Anna Vega Milton, which we love dearly, the chairwoman of Jackson Health Foundation. Charmaine, co-president, along with Flavia, just doing fantastic work. Most of you know the Jackson Health system is one of the best systems in our nation. Jose Milton Foundation, I cannot say enough of Anna Vega Milton. Anna, we love you. Thank you for all your altruistic work. We simply cannot be without you. And most of our viewers know her already. And we look forward to having her later on this year as well. Nicole, thank you for being an amazing attorney. Thank you for supporting the program. Thank you for doing the right thing. Thank you for seeking justice, Nicole. We love you. Survivor's Pathway, Dr. Francesco Dubelli, president and CEO, dealing with human trafficking victims and survivors and sexual assault and domestic violence. Thank you, Dr. Francesco Dubelli. Magic Waste Youth Foundation, Rudy Bustamante, thank you so much for helping so many foster kids that are aging out of the system so that you can give them the right resources and they can have a better future. Of course, we have Jewish University System, founder and president, Dr. Jorge Alfonso and Lucy Alfonso. We love them both very dearly. My friends, if you're looking to get an honorary doctorate or if you're looking to get a doctorate, either in education or in psychology, this is the place to go. Jewish University System. They're an online system. They're doing fantastic. They do religious modifiers. Of course, we need Quantum CPAs and advisors providing customized and strategic accounting and advisory solutions to entrepreneurs and small business owners. Marie Torresan, she's excellent. If you're looking to grow your business, give them a call. Quantum CPAs and advisors. Catholic Hospice, a big shout out to my friend Jessica Joseph. You're doing a fantastic job. My friends, if you have somebody that's dying, that's not doing well, call them. Tremendous nurturing and love for you and your family. And we have Meet Alyssa Billiard, your corporate and personal psychologist and psychotherapist to solve your business and personal hurdles. Brenda, that sales girl, if you're looking for your car, your dream car, the words, your dream car or used car, call Brenda. Call her today. Call her tomorrow. She's working for you 24/7. She will get you a great car and deliver it to you right to your home or to your job. Light of the World Clinic, Elaine Maselli Vasquez, we appreciate you so much. My friends, if you or any of your friends live in Broward County and you know somebody that's economically disadvantaged, go to the Light World Clinic. And guess what? You'll have free healthcare. And of course, United Home Care, thank you so much. Keeping our older adults at home because being home is the best place to be with great healthcare services. A big shout out to Blanca Ceballos, Alina Palenzuela, and of course, Carlos Martinez. Back to you. How you doing? There you go. So talk to me a little bit about visas. What are the different types of visas, Nicole, that we can have some of our immigrants apply for?
So we have the one of the most popular ones is the visitor visa, right? So if you, you know, visitor slash tourist visa, if you want to come over here and be a tourist, you can. That also encompasses if you want to do business here. You can't, it's not working here, but it's doing business, right? You have, you know, you want to look at real estate or anything like that for a business venture, you can do that. Another type of visa is what we discussed in the beginning. The fiance visa is also a popular one. Then there's, for instance, other types, like if you are extraordinary in what you do, let's say you're a ballerina or you're an artist or you're in sports, there's visas that will deal with that.
And student visa, right? There's like students if they want to study here.
There are student visas, and it also covers even up to, you know, I had a case the other day for a child that was in high school. So it covers, right, it covers, you know, high school kids, college kids, things like that, which is great because it gives, you know, anyone, it doesn't have to be young people, anyone the opportunity to come and study in the United States. And the school is the one that petitions for you. So the school has to fill out some documents, and it's such a good opportunity for people to be able to come here.
Perfect. God bless America. I love living here. What about you, Nicole?
Oh, absolutely. The best.
Right? So let's suppose for all our non-citizens, they come with a visa, right? And their visa expires. Then what happens, Nicole?
So that's a big issue. Your visa expires and you're kind of out of luck, right? So this is a couple things. You come into the United States and you are here on whichever visa and you are allotted an amount of time. Okay. If let's say, for example, COVID hit, a lot of people couldn't leave the country because of the airport's closures and in their country closures. So what they had to do was they had to file an extension of stay. So they would file the extension and then they were able to stay. Let's say that there's no extension filed and you're out of, you know, you're expired. That's an issue because you need to leave the United States right away. Now, there's one method where if, let's say, you overstay, that will not penalize you. And that is if you marry a U.S. citizen, immigration will, not that they forgive it, but they're not going to really hold it against you in that process. But any other thing, for example, you're here on a tourist visa, and let's say you want to change to another type of visa, that must be done prior to the expiration. If not, you have to leave. And of course, the more time you stay here, the more the different types of punishment happens. So you're here longer, then it's either a 3-year ban, a 5-year ban, 10-year ban, 20-year ban, or permanent ban. So the more time you're here, the punishments are different.
That's pretty serious. I-94, how serious should our non-citizens take this into consideration by abiding by the law? Talk to us.
So an I-94 is pretty much your travel record. So when you come into the United States, and let's really talk about airports. When you come into the United States, before, when you went to customs and you talked to an ICE agent, they would give you a little card. It was a white card about this big, and it was your I-94. And the I-94 said what type of visa you were here for, and it gave you the expiration date of your stay, which meant that you needed to depart the United States by that date. They've changed. Instead of giving those little cards, they've done it electronically. And before, they used to stamp passports. I've seen with a lot of my clients that are coming in that they're not giving them the cards anymore. They're not stamping the passports. And the I-94 is electronically on the computer. So let's say you come in and the agent will tell you, okay, you have to leave in 3 months. They might not give you the exact date. They might give you the date, but you forget. So you have to be conscious and go on the website of I-94, put in your information, and that will tell you when your expiration leaves and when you need to leave by.
Okay. And if you don't abide by that, Nicole, then what happens?
So that's pretty much your guideline. So if you don't abide by it, that means that your visa expires.
So that's it.
So a lot of people get confused, right? Because, for example, let's talk about the visitor visa. The visitor visa, when you apply for it, it gives it to you for about 10 years. But that doesn't mean that you can come into the United States and stay for 10 years. It's right. just current that you can come in and out for the next 10 years. Every time you come into the United States, usually it's 90 days, sometimes it's 6 months, but it really is up to whichever official you see when you come in. And they can give you however much time. If they want to give you a week, 2 weeks, a month, 6 months. And that's what dominates how long you can be in the United States.
So we got to tell all our viewers, you know, if you know any non-citizens, you know, please tell them the information that Nicole Alvarez has given you today. I said earlier that Nicole Alvarez is an outstanding attorney. She has proven track record, my friends, of helping immigrants, of helping non-citizens stay here in the United States of America, a place that we all would like to be. Nicole, talk to me about the Dreamers Act and its intricacies. Tell us.
So the Dreamers Act, DACA, pretty much, is for individuals that were here before the age of 16. And there have been such turmoil with it because it was current and then, you know, they took it out and then court cases happened. And so now it's very much alive again, but still they're ironing out the kinks. Bottom line is DACA gives you the opportunity to stay in the United States so that you can work, go to school and be here. And it gives you legal status, but it's kind of a loose terminology because it does not give you a green card. It just gives you the right to be able to stay here, work here, go to school here, but it will not give you your green card. I have a lot of clients that have been here on DACA since the age of 3. I mean, they don't even speak the language from their country anymore. And, you know, they don't have their green card. And they've been here since 2-3 years old and they don't have their green card. So, you know, fortunately for them, they've met U.S. citizens and they're getting married and then we're getting them their green card that way. But DACA, it just pretty much lets you live here, work here, go to school here, and that's that.
Well, you know what? I mean, they deserve to be here. You know, they've invested in our community. They've worked. Many of them are doctors and lawyers and architects. And, you know, we love them. And so we hope that things get better for them without a doubt. How do you see DACA evolving now more in the President Biden's administration?
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to say because we hear a lot of, you know, in the news and we heard a lot of chatter about the Biden administration opening up a pathway to citizenship for a lot of people that didn't have, an option. So right. it's kind of hard. And I'm getting phone calls ever since last week. I get phone calls like, OK, what can we do now that, you know, we have a new president? What can we do now? And right now we just need to wait because we really don't know anything. Right. There's not a lot of instruction. It's you know, tomorrow's going to be a week. So I'm very hopeful, though, that as the weeks go on, we're going to have a lot more options available to individuals that didn't exist before.
That's amazing. Again, I'd like to encourage all our viewers, if you have any friends, any family members that are non-citizens, please contact Nicole Alvarez. She will help you with your green card, becoming a citizen, so on and so forth. Is there anything else that you would like to expound on right now, Nicole, or you think that pretty much this is where we're at right now?
I mean, you know, immigration is a lot, right? But I think we covered, you know, a little bit, a little sprinkle everywhere. Again, if anybody has any questions, I'm more than happy to answer and assist any way I can.
For sure. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. I want to thank you so much, Nicole Alvarez, for being with us here today. God bless you. You're a beam of hope and light for all our non-citizens here in the United States. We look forward to inviting you back. And to all the viewers, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Please remember to subscribe to my YouTube channel. I'm Puerto Rican Turkoman. Keeping informed and staying connected allows all of us to make the right decisions. God bless you all. Stay healthy and safe. Bye-bye for now.
No, you're good.